On today's episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand, I got a chance to chat with third-time guest Charlie T. from Disruptor School. Oh man, Charlie and I had an awesome conversation. There's been a lot of really big issues right now in the Facebook ads ecosystem as far as crazy performance fluctuations up and down, and it's really hitting a lot of businesses right now. And Charlie and I talked about how, interestingly for him and I, we're not seeing those. And we talked about the why behind it. We talked about all of the things that you can do to get around that. We talked about where TikTok shops fit into all of this. We talked about TikTok a little bit. And we talked about a lot of stuff that you guys are not going to want to miss. Guys, this is a must listen to episode. Hey guys, are you a scaling e-commerce brand this year? I imagine you are, or maybe you're just trying to save some cash. Let me share one of the best kept secrets in managing inventory, Finale Inventory. Honestly, I've been using Finale for about 4 years now. I love when sponsors come on this podcast that I have actually used and I absolutely love. And I've witnessed its impacts firsthand. As Finale celebrates its 10th year, it's empowered thousands of brands across various industries, from food and beverage to electronics to apparel, like in our case, auto parts, and yes, even fireworks. That's actually how they started. They've helped them manage their inventory and warehouses efficiently. This platform has been instrumental in preventing overselling, improving efficiencies, and enabling rapid scaling for growth. I want to tell you, the reason that we went to them is because we were having massive overselling issues. And when we went to Finale, it almost solved them overnight. One of their success stories involves scaling a brand from $755,000 to $75 million. Sellers have seen their return rates reduced by 40%, and countless hours have been saved off warehouse workflows, which we have seen personally, absolutely seen. The value Finale inventory brings to the table is truly remarkable. And here's some exciting news for you. You can get 20% off the first 6 months when you sign up as a new user with the code UPGROWTH2024. Go to finaleinventory.com and start your free trial and take advantage of this special offer. Remember, it's probably a lot more affordable than you actually think. And I know I'm always surprised when I see how small that bill is. Remember, use UPGROWTH2024 at finaleinventory.com. Now to today's episode. Hey guys, Jordan West back with another episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand. Hey, this is the third or fourth time I've had Charlie T on the podcast. Charlie, I'm really looking forward to this episode because I've had you on previous times and I sort of understood what you did and what you stood for and all of that. But I've really drank the Kool-Aid now, Charlie. And it's unfortunate because it's like now every time I look into accounts and I talk to other media buyers, I'm like, you guys are such idiots. Like, I get why you are so opinionated on a lot of this stuff. And it makes so much sense now. I am pretty good at not calling people idiots. So I'm okay there, but I'll tell you, it's in my head a lot of the times here. So I'm calling this one the Charlie Dispatch today. Hey, for people who have never listened to any of the episodes before with you on, tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you believe.
Sure. So my name's Charlie, founder of Disruptor School. Been in the game a little over a decade. Like 10 years ago, I was spending $1 million a day on Facebook before there was even a pixel. I remember the big issue of like, wow, we have a Facebook pixel. And if you think iOS 14 was a problem, that was a speed bump. This literally put companies out of business. Everybody that went link click only instead of digging the data loss.
Yeah.
And I've been head of growth at agencies and in brands, SaaS companies, lead gen organizations. I generally once or twice a year help scale businesses from 7 to 8 or 9 figure run rates. I spent probably $100 million on basically every single platform and easily driven over $1 billion in revenue on Facebook alone. I kind of stopped counting my Facebook ad spend, honestly, in like 2018, I was over $500 million. So like, I've been around. I was the first guy to launch lead gen ads. I helped Facebook figure out how to use dynamic creative testing, how to figure out how to use broad targeting, dynamic product ads. I was part of the team in the Disruptor Group, the initial Disruptor Group to develop Power 5 and then later Performance 5. Been around and doing all sorts of stuff.
Cool.
And now I teach. I have brands. I've made hundreds of millions of dollars of mistakes. I try to make this easy because it is. Where most people have subjective, myopic views that are self-serving, I just know how the machine works because I help the engineers with feedback on getting it built in the way that it exists now. So I just try to make things easy. My motto is more success, less stress. And that is my agenda.
And I can tell you as a brand and agency owner, my life has gotten so much better. So nice. Just so you guys know, this episode is actually supposed to be Charlie against someone who has differing views. And this is going to be another one of those episodes. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today. We will be going back to that episode 100%. We are not going to let that one slide at all. There was some issues and he really couldn't make it today. That's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to talking to you about some of this stuff here, Charlie. So we're kind of nearing the back half of Q1. We're right at the end of March. and all over Twitter. The performance from what people have been talking about has been brutal, as a lot of people have said. Interesting. I manage a decent amount of ad spend now. I've actually gotten back in, I'm sure you've seen, I've gotten back into media buying just to really figure all of this stuff out and be like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, it's actually the place where you make a lot of money, right? Like, I always forget that. It's similar to sales, right? Like, I've given up sales before and then realized, well, I'm better at selling than anybody that I know. Why in the world would I give up sales? That's where you make the money. I think it's a Hermosianism that's just like, no, don't forget the things that actually make money. And so anyway, really enjoyed diving back into that. And I haven't noticed the kind of performance issues that I've been hearing about. Why is that? Because you know how I'm buying and how we're ads managing now.
Yeah. So I feel like there's a storytelling version of the answer or the short one. So let me give the short one. And then if you want to extrapolate it, we can. The short version of this answer that is kind of fun still is that most people that buy ads are what we would consider growth performance marketers. Basically meaning they're trying to get the best platform performance they can. Now, the problem with being a performance marketer is growth and data integrity aren't really your agenda. Let me get the best thing I can. And as a result, they'll use predictive bidding models like ASC or cost caps, bid caps, manual bidding. They'll also avoid using data integrity stuff. So not leaning into dynamic creatives, they're not leaning into singular offers, they're not focusing on stabilizing the funnel and improving the business model. Instead, they're trying to do as aggressively as they can, take basically the least efficient channel and make it as efficient as possible, and don't understand that the ramifications of that is a huge hyperbolic level of instability that directly translates into lower cash flow for the business at large. So that's a very surface level way of putting it.
And this is the short answer. So
short answer, yeah.
I do want to dig into the long answer, but something really interesting that I realized, and guys, I just want to say, I feel like an idiot after all these years being like, oh, that was the principle behind all of this. Like, really actually understanding it. So one interesting thing that I've noticed, and I know we're talking a lot about this without you guys actually understanding Charlie's methodology. We'll probably get into a little bit of that.
I think the TLDR to T's, I haven't seen the issue that the loud minority complains about. You haven't seen it.
No.
Hundreds of students in the MBA program haven't seen it. In fact, most operators that are focusing on how to use their tools properly aren't seeing the problem. No. Most operators who blame their tools when their job doesn't go well, they're seeing it. It is an extreme bifurcation of the universe based on how they're addressing performance versus growth marketing.
Yeah. So I just want to bring up one interesting thing that I had noticed over the years. And I think that this is exactly what performance marketers do. And I don't blame them at all. They'll have this one ad that is getting so much spend, right? So much spend. And yet it looks like in the grand scheme of the campaign or the ad set or however people are setting it up, like, oh my gosh, that one ad is taking all the spend and the performance is terrible. It's like triple my CPA and I have no idea why. Yet the entire campaign is reaching target CPA. And so they turn that one off. And it's funny because really until I understood it, I just knew not to do it. That's all I knew. I just was like, no, guys, like, don't do that. Do I know why? No, I have no idea why. But now that I know the whys behind so much of this, and Charlie, I'm not even disruptor school or the MBA program or any of that kind of stuff. I've just divined all this stuff from YouTube and you and me having podcast episodes together.
Yeah.
And like I said, at some point, I'm just going to pay you a boatload of money to be training all of my people. And that's great. That's going to come eventually. Right now, I'm just feeling like I'm a newborn baby understanding all of this stuff again. Can you walk me through some of the fundamentals and in the sort of story format of what is going on with, like, yesterday, huge overspending in accounts, right? There was a massive CPM spike or something like that. Again, I put it to my team and for some reason we didn't see it. I'm not sure why we were the minority in that one, but I'd love to know what's going on there and what's the fundamental behind all of that?
So really, I think there's three things at play. So let's just take a look at the overall landscape. And I think something that people far too often don't account for, which is market forces. Generally, the year looks like this. Q1, record low CPMs, super high aspirational buying behavior. Then that kind of wanes off a little bit. And then we hit to February. And around mid-February, the unit economics change entirely. Supply and demand shifts. Basically, people are on their devices less. And big marketers are dropping millions of dollars. Why? Well, Super Bowl, Valentine's Day, big holidays.
Yeah.
And then we see a basically huge shift in the market unit economics. Around this time, cost caps fail, advantage shopping, now also those fail. Back in the day, engaged shoppers, which is basically what advantage shopping is now, those all fail. The predictive elements that require buying public that is eager to spend money and low CPMs for reach, basically that all dries up. And when that happens, all the unit economists go out the window. And then come March, things kind of level off. They made Q2 where they kind of hit some nominal levels. We have good stuff and we have bad stuff, but it ends at basically the worst time of the year, which is the doldrums of summer. And that queues off at Prime Day. And Amazon knows all the data, which is why Prime Day is set a different day each year, because they know basically if we get the date to launch on this inflection point, we're going to maximize profitability and volume. And then basically the week or two or month after that is terrible performance for everybody in digital marketing because they basically pulled all the sales forward. Then we get to Q3 where there's a bit sort of a return back to those Q2 unit economics. And it ends basically at the setup for Black Friday, which starts more or less October 1 and has a huge run all the way up. And then we have Q5, which is a week after Christmas to mid-January, where it's basically a mini Black Friday all over again. And then the whole cycle repeats. We have to understand that first off, everybody's saying, oh, the things are terrible right now. I was talking with a guy, Jason, with a great brand, and he was like, man, my stuff isn't working for 6 months, and now it's tanking. I'm like, okay, well, 6 months ago, you were in the rise of Q4. Consumer behavior, more buying intent than we've seen basically over the previous 6 months.
Yeah.
And more inventory. Basically, the days are getting shorter, and people are on their devices more. And come September, October, November, people still aren't ramping up their budgets nearly as much as they would be otherwise. So supply and demand plus intent swings really in your favor. Awesome. And then that swings into Q5. And that kind of rolls through the middle of February where all of that stuff shifts completely. And it's like, well, it's been working for 6 months. Now things are clearly broken. It's like, no, just the unit economics are broken.
Mm.
And because you haven't invested into data integrity, basically, you haven't invested in, let me get ads that are smart, where the Facebook machine knows how to use them and develop a stable funnel. And when I talk about funnel, I'm talking about, like, I refer to it as a 4PI analysis, spend, frequency, CPMs, and efficiency. If Facebook knows how to use your ads to deliver a consistent user experience based on their quality of their experience on Facebook, then as these market forces hit, you're going to be far less subject to them. But most of these people are doing cost caps, a plus investing constantly every single week. What that means is they're trying to say, let me pillage the bottom of the funnel, and not just my funnel, but the market funnel, the in-demand funnel. Right? They're basically running Facebook like it's Google Shopping, a branded search, and Amazon, which is fine, as long as that becomes cost effective. But when there's a drop in the way the unit economics work, those things have become no longer viable. And because you've been running a whole bunch of different ads, constantly just trying to hack the funnel, what you don't have is any employee who knows how to do their job. And as soon as there has to be a level of effort of your ads need to be intelligent to work, you're kind of screwed. And so you've been favoring, let me have very smart ads for a very stable machine where Facebook knows how to give the end user a desirable experience on the platform. You've made the effort of saying, these ads not only give people a positive Facebook or Instagram experience, but they also attract the right type of person for my business.
Yeah. I was just going to say, one of the questions that I see people ask you all the time is like, well, why would I set this up when I want to market my entire catalog, right? Like, I want everyone to see everything. And I love your analogy of like, well, actually, you want a very similar person coming in the door, right? You want to tell Facebook, actually, this is kind of who I'm going after here.
It's about data integrity, about teaching the machine how to go after those people. And to be fair, I do want to say too, like, it is not a harmful thing to market multiple products. But when you're getting to data integrity, say you're selling 12 different things and they all end in a purchase event.
Yeah.
Well, now the sale of a Gucci bag that's $300 or $20 is worth the same thing as somebody dropping $300,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's a success.
I did a test like this in January and I just wanted to do the test with one of the brands that we own. So I wanted to do a free plus shipping offer on baby leggings. And this brand is a little bit more like medium to high income sort of earners, right? And I thought they still have to pay shipping potentially, right? I think what ended up happening is, you know, I had about 2,000 purchases on it. It was a massive success. We had like a $5 CPA. Awesome. Great success. The problem is the LTV, our normal LTV is about 450. This LTV was 16 after 2 months. So great test. Either way, a great test. Really glad that I ran it. I did feel like what happened though is that our AOV actually since then has had a hard time recovering. And I'm wondering if it's because of that data integrity that we basically said, sure, like, hey, here's 2,000 purchases of people that look like this. Is that kind of what I'm seeing in there, Charlie?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me put it to you this way. And a data point that you should know backed up, I was looking into some case studies from Retail Monad, Rakuten, and Groupon. Price-conscious consumers are overwhelmingly price-conscious, meaning that if people are buying because of the inflection point of price, then the brand loyalty is extraordinarily low. In fact, if price is the inflection point, price-conscious buyers, according to Groupon, will 60 to 80% of the time see an offer and then look for a coupon. They're not looking for that brand. They're looking for that solution at a specific price. The problem is, because you got a whole bunch of individuals into your store that were not interested in the product, interested in the offer, you now have completely polluted your entire data set in Facebook and your customer base with a whole bunch of people that have no intention of actually caring about your business.
Yeah.
And so a performance marketer would be stoked. I go, $5 CPS, look at my glass. It's phenomenal. But you as a business operator say, well, my cash flow's tanked.
Yeah.
And also, I'm going ahead and then make the assumption that you didn't say to these free plus shipping, that you didn't define it as a custom conversion event. So you didn't say when somebody buys, categorize them as purchaser where product ID or offer or landing page contains X. So that data was treated to the system as totally. $400 buyer is the same value as a 16.
Yeah.
So now you've invested heavily in basically bringing in 2,000 data points that say, hey, Facebook, success for me is finding the worst quality customer.
Guys, I'm glad I get to be the guinea pig on this one, because I think that it actually speaks to, and it's interesting because when I really then started to go hard into understanding, because guys, I've been media buying for years, since 2014. I haven't spent as much as Charlie, but I've spent a lot of money over the years on our brands. Yeah, like I've been doing this for a while. And really when I understood, this is it. I get why I've been wrong this entire time. I remember the first time you came on with a Fuck ROAS shirt and I was like, okay, I agree with you. Ha ha ha. But I didn't get it. And now I get it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I slap my employees, like not physically everyone, but you know, metaphorically when they use ROAS. I'm like, I don't care. I just don't care. Does that tell me anything about what we're doing that's actually helping brands? What I can tell you is, and this is a tiny little brand, okay? But we took on this pickleball brand and they, in the first day, 5X their revenue, and it's continued on. And we've been scaling it up and nothing changed other than just running your methodology. And I'm like, okay, this is weird because the numbers don't look as good on platform. They don't, right? But all the leading indicators do. The 4PI looks like phenomenal, but the ROAS doesn't look quite as good. The particular CPA on one particular ad actually isn't better than any of the others before. And yet their revenue is 5X and nothing. Like the first day I went to him and I was like, hey, do you guys run a like wholesale? Were you running some kind of sale or anything like that? He's like, no, I have no clue what happened. And so what this did for me, Charlie, and I want to explain this to everyone, is it really solidified the way that I'm seeing the funnel now. And the funnel's changed. It has completely changed from the agency standpoint for brands, all of this. For me, it really is going, and it's funny, it's changed. No, it's just going back to what I used to believe, which is that it all stems from organic content, right? All of it stems from organic content. And that's why I'm so all in on TikTok shops, because what we're doing is getting paid, literally getting paid to tell me which content is going to convert later on. Awesome. Like, why would you not want to do that? And if you can't get it working on TikTok shop, well, then let's get it working with influencers. And if you can't do that, then why don't we create some customer generated content and figure out which of that CGC Facebook likes on the organic side, and then let's use that for ads. And so we've been doing that. And I will tell you, that is working. That is the only thing. And then it's like, oh, and now let's just plug that into a really simple media buying framework that works, because that to me is a commodity. Figuring the other stuff out is not. That is still something that a marketer needs to know. Okay, this works. But really, again, at the end of the day, you're just looking at these data points, but you're looking at different data points than everybody else is. And that's where I think the power comes in. And that's why I just want to say, like, thank you, Charlie. Thanks for finally ramming it through my head. Oh, this is what matters. Today's sponsor is Finale Inventory, a tool that I have personally used and loved for years. To me, it really stands out as the solution for accurate and efficient inventory management. It's trusted by thousands of brands. Finale offers seamless integration with over 80 sales channels, including TikTok shops, featuring customizable workflows and reporting to streamline your operations and scale with ease. Prevent overselling, maximize profitability, whether you're managing multiple sales channels, expanding your product range, or seeking ways to reduce operational costs. With Finale, you're equipped with the tools needed to succeed in today's e-commerce landscape. Interested in seeing how Finale can streamline your business operations? Visit finaleinventory.com and go check out the demo. I also do have a nice little promo code for you. Try Upgrowth 2024 for 20% off your first 6 months if you are a new user. Enhance your inventory management by visiting finaleinventory.com. Now, back to today's episode.
Yeah, I'm glad. And I'll also say this, what's working for you in that situation might not be the best fix for other people. And people are like, well, every business is different. True. However, what you're doing is what every business that is successful has been doing for many, 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 many years. You are figuring out, this is how my business makes money. And I am finding the most consistent and stable way of attracting attention that I know how to prescriptively monetize in a profitable way. If you know I can attract this type of user and my business model or my experience ultimately leads to this transaction, and if this user gets to this transaction, I know they're worth these touch points in the future, then all I need to do is take some of this profit and plug it back into amplifying the volume of that type of attention that I get.
Yeah.
And then I can obviously test to improve like different versions of getting that attention. But business model is ultimately a way of monetizing attention. And a good business model of a brand that grows can stabilize that approach, ultimately the marketing funnel, in a way that generates future cash flow at a profit. And they can use some of that profit to scale that initial effort. Ultimately, it comes down to the sales funnel ends at the first purchase or whatever that conversion point is. That's where the customer journey begins. And this first transaction is the least profitable one. Generally speaking, the added cost to get the second, third, fourth, fifth transaction in a business far lower than the sum cost to get the first one.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, Facebook ads is probably one of the least profitable ways of getting this to happen, this initial transaction to work. It's what gets people into knowing your business. It's also the least sticky because an ad could have a good day or a bad day. But if you make conversion rate optimization improvement on your website and your conversion rate improves by 10%, that's going to happen to all traffic. And if you can't improve your second purchase rate because of your business model or customer experience or whatever it is, so that you can go from 5% of people buy a second time to 10% of people buy a second time. Well, then the allowable CPA at the Facebook goes up overnight. All traffic in a permanent way, as long as you don't change the type of attention that you're getting.
So Charlie, what would you say to people, and this is going to kind of be our wrap up here today. What would you say to people who are having performance fluctuations right now? If you could give them one piece of advice and just say like, hey, you need to either do this or stop doing this, what would you tell them?
Let me give a 3-point punch list. And this is what I talk with everybody. First one, understand the unit economics of your customer journey based on the product that they bought. Simple way, it's in whatever software you're using. Do a lifetime value cohort analysis.
Yeah.
Yeah, AdBeacon does it. Very easy information, very low level of effort. Some products, more often than others, generate second, third, fourth, fifth purchases. Some don't, to your point. The free plus shipping, 3x LTV lift, but basically on nothing. The max customer value is $16.
Yeah.
Not great, right? Max value of another customer might be $400. Now we can understand what our investments look like. Because basically Facebook ads is nothing other than stocks and bonds, if you want to look at it in that way. You're just looking at investment tools. Second thing, understand at that point what is most desirable for you and figure out a way to move into the smallest amount of pieces, the smallest amount of moving parts you can to attract the type of attention that gets that action to occur. Generally speaking, I like to think of that as one campaign per business objective. That business objective might be selling that product. I want a couple of ads that have been proven, and then I'm going to use a couple of dynamic creatives that are simple. I teach the 3-2-2, 3 creatives, 2 headlines, 2 primary text, small moving parts where the net output, which is part number 3, the net output is something where I can say I'm allowed to spend more money. And this is the thing that I think most people that I talk to miss. I don't care what your Facebook CPA is. If we understand that cohort analysis by SKU, we can understand, oh, the average person buys 2.5 times. Okay. What does our target CPA need to be? We blend the cost of all of those transactions. And people will make the assumption of, well, I already acquired that customer. I don't want to pay to acquire them again. Customer loyalty is basically a myth. Like, I don't think the idea that you own a customer because they bought from you once is a complete fallacy. Direct consumer marketing, a sale is a lead. It's not a relationship. You basically bought a lead. Maybe you made money, maybe you didn't. The profit comes on the second and third transaction. So my point to that is, don't be focused on trying to make Facebook look good. Focus on the blended CPA. I can spend $40 to acquire a transaction. My Facebook running at 130. My blended CPA says I'm coming in at a 32. Well, that means I can spend more money on Facebook, because the more money I spend on Facebook, I'm going to see more search volume. I'm going to see more email volume. I'm going to see more Amazon volume because I'm attracting attention. I'm amplifying the business. And I have an efficiency that allows me to continue to crank the volume on my investment.
Hmm.
And ultimately, those are the three things that I try to get to people. Know your unit economics.
Yeah.
And to your point that you talked about before, if you sell five different products, objectively speaking, probably three or four of them are a worse investment than the best one. If I know that I can double my money on one and another one make 2% profit, maybe one of them I have a 2x ROAS with no future cash flow.
Yeah.
And the other one I break even, but I have a 3x lift on LTV. Which one is better for my business? So focus in on all that stuff. And I say the people that try to sell everything at a profit are doing their best growth a disservice. They're making more money today, but at the expense of future money. And ultimately, what I would suggest everybody try to solve is to get to the end result you want, to find the end result that you define as success, and then back your way into it. And every time I've built or helped brands build 8 or 9 figure businesses, like Under Alpha went from 50K a month to over $1 million a week. 10 Nutrition went from 2,000-3,000 a day to like 100 million valuation. Like, I was on this over and over and over again. One of the consistent things is find a way to make the revenue that is not dependent on ads greater than your ad spend. At 3-10 Nutrition, I would wake up and get to my after about a year, year and a half. I mean, we started off at a couple thousand, but after a year, year and a half, our Shopify, by the time I got to my desk, was at 40-50K. I was spending 30-40K a day on ads.
Yeah.
Net profit daily on ad spend versus revenue was $10,000-$15,000.
Yeah.
It's hard to not make money when you're baking a $250,000 a year put on ad spend, $250,000 a month on ad spend. So my point is, if that's the goal, then well, I can't afford to get all this stuff. Okay, fix all of those problems. And what you'll end up with is a very simple ad account that is scalable based on your blended cost for the acquisition of a transaction. And then just slowly increase your budgets. And I'll end on this math. A lot of people say, I'm not scaling fast enough. How do I go faster? This, that, and the other thing. It's not about scaling fast. Because also, like, if your business 10Xs, you probably can't handle it.
No,
how many people like 10X their business, then they're pre-orders. You don't have the manpower. You don't have the inventory. You don't have the cash flow to deal with all of that. Now, if you're drop shipping, sure, but it'll also go away in a month. My point to that is sustainable growth is the most desirable. And I tell people all the time, 5% 3 times a week is a great target. Can you say based on my blended CPA, I can increase my budget by 5%? And I realize this was like the very long-winded short answer. So I apologize. Here's the math. 5% 3 times a week is 2x a month. 2x a month for a year is 37x in growth. If you're spending 500 today, you can be at 18,500 a day by the end of the year. That is completely achievable. The only thing that's going to stop you is your business model can't handle growth because of inventory overhead or blended CPA. And changing the Facebook ad is the least sticky, least effective way of improving your blended cost per acquisition. There's a million other things that can improve it. Customer service, so you have smaller returns. Conversion rate optimization, so you improve your revenue per session. Ramping up your Google search budgets. By the way, you tripled your Facebook ad spend, but you haven't touched Google, making your Amazon more effective, like whatever lowers your wherever you're spending money in, where you are under leveraged. Basically, if I spent more here, my blended CPA would go down. Is a move you should make before doing any changing creative on Facebook. And your number one job in your business is, can I spend 5% more on Facebook today? You need to make sure that the answer to that is yes, 2-3 times a week. And anything that gets in the way of that is something you should know weeks in ahead. And your entire job is to make sure that the answer is yes. And at that point, everything that makes that decision more difficult is a liability. And you will end up with an extraordinarily simple Facebook ad account that takes maybe an hour a week to manage, and a business that's scaling massively.
Charlie, thank you so much for your time. This did not disappoint. I'm glad that we got to have a conversation like this. I got to say, from the agency standpoint, it's been really interesting transitioning everything over into this methodology and people being like, well, what are you doing? We're helping you focus on everything else and results are so much better. Yeah, but it doesn't look like much is going on in there. You're right. You're absolutely right. And it's been a very interesting conversation with people. And I think it comes down to, a lot of times we as business owners want our employees, we want our contractors to be busy, right? Rather than effective.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the day, I want people to be effective. Charlie, I just want to say thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people find out more about what you're up to? And guys, remember, we're going to put all of this down in the show notes.
Follow me on socials at CT The Disruptor. Google Disruptor School. And if you can't find it, then you shouldn't trust me on marketing.
That's great. And Charlie, I'm going to be chatting with Disruptor School on TikTok Shops here pretty soon too. So looking forward to that conversation.
I'm very stoked about that. I think we have a lot of folks that are really happy between you, Disruptor School, and the Facebook Ads MBA program with hundreds of students, and just having more and more people coming in and talk about all these added things and making those masterclasses available to everybody. Last week, we had Marketing Max talking about newsletter for brand affinity. We've got Dara Denny coming in soon. Live. We've had just Chase from Heatmap about CRO stuff. Just every other week at this point, we've got new experts coming in, dropping more and more stuff. I think most people I know that are in the information and education space, basically somebody that may or may not do the work reads a script of work that they definitely haven't done, and then they just sell it. And what I do is say, well, I do the work. My kung fu happens to be stronger than most of those people, and I bring in every person that's excellent at a whole bunch of things to give you the most well-rounded thing. Because if your Facebook takes an hour a week, better know how to provide value elsewhere, or else you can get fired. But what I love that you told me, and I see it more and more often for the agencies that adopt this, is the conversation with your client is simple. Is this month better than in projection?
Yeah.
Does that keep happening every time we work together?
It's
awesome.
It's incredible, and lowest churn that we've had at the agency. It's incredible. I mean, guys, I can't help myself. I haven't rolled these services out, but I built about 10 services in the last 2 months at the agency to serve brands in different ways that can help with other ways of growth that aren't Facebook ads. And this is just crazy. Anyway, guys, I'm late for a meeting. I got to run. Charlie, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy.
And guys, everything that we talked about will be down in the show notes.
Yeah. All right. See you later, buddy. Bye.
See ya. Bye, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say thanks again so much for listening to the podcast. If I could ask one favor of you, it would be to share this with your other e-commerce store owner friends. We want everyone in the e-com space to be listening to this podcast, and lots of you guys already are, and we really, really appreciate that. One last thing before you go as well is we are offering to our podcast listeners a free e-commerce growth plan where we go from strategy to sale with your brand in this e-commerce growth plan. So feel free to go to www.upgrowthcommerce.com/grow and apply for a free growth plan today. Thank you all again so much for listening.